is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for an RFR, a Raiders fan radio conversation. I am so thankful tonight to bring in an old friend of the show, a guy who we talked to way back when. The last time was episode number 44. We're now going up on episode number 193 of Raiders Fan Radio Live. And now, but back at episode number 44, August 27th, 2017 was the last time we spoke to him. He was a fledgling writer. It was a fledgling website and has now gone on to great success. And I'm talking about our good buddy, old friend of the show. He's not old, but he's an old friend of the show, Mario Tovar from RaiderRamble.com. What's up, Mario?
How you doing, man? Happy to be back.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time. So before we jump into all this Raider talk, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, last time, like you said, I was way back when, man, almost 3 years ago. Time flew by. Since then, the site has been doing great. I mean, 3 years, don't want to throw out too many numbers, but let's just say we're in the millions. So.
Wow.
Things have gone pretty well for us. I've been blessed, though, to be honest, real quickly, with a bunch of great writers, man, have come through the Raider Ramble. You know, so many, I can't even name them. In particular, though, my partner, Carlos Sanchez, he's helped, been tremendous, you know, with the site. Yeah, man, just very grateful, you know, very grateful.
So you're saying that back when you were a fledgling site and you came onto this show, onto Raiders Fan Radio, our tens and tens of listeners propelled you to millions of readers of greatness?
You know what's funny, Murph? I'm not even ball washing or anything. Literally, when you guys had me on your show that same day, when you guys published your episode, the site got 1,000 views just from you guys.
Oh, cool.
And we know it was from you guys because they came out of nowhere. Like, they weren't traced by the search engine. So we're like, okay, so definitely Raiders Fan Radio had a hand in that.
Oh, right on, man. Well, that's awesome, man. And I appreciate that. And yeah, we've, our show has grown too, man. Like we've doing this video thing now. Like I mentioned to you off air there, you know, we're now broadcasting to Twitch, which is like, it wasn't my idea. I'm a 47-year-old man. I got no business on Twitch, but I have two teenage boys and they're like, Dad, why aren't you on Twitch? Cause like, we put out our show to YouTube and all these other places. And he's like, why aren't you on Twitch? And I'm like, wasn't that like a gaming thing? And they're like, nah, everybody's on Twitch now. You need to go put your show on Twitch. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, so here we are. So like, so, oh, man. So yeah, but we haven't, you're the first live interview that we've done on Twitch. So, so congratulations on being the guinea pig here with us.
Well, thanks for the honor. And I can honestly say though, Twitch is the next big video platform. It already is one of the big video platforms along with YouTube, obviously.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to go to where the people are. And if there's people on Twitch and they're Raider fans, like we're going to find them. Cause even if I am a middle-aged man, I still might be talking about their favorite football team and maybe that'll give them an excuse to kind of connect with us here. So anyways, but thank you for coming back on. So this is obviously it's a live show here on the Twitch, but then we're also going to release this as part of our normal audio podcast, which now we're part of Blue Wire Podcast Network, which is very cool. But enough about us. I want to hear about you. First off, before we jump into these Raider topics, tell everybody where they can find you. Tell them where they can find Raider Ramble. Any plugs you want to throw out there, go ahead, man. Platform's yours.
Well, you can probably just find everything that has to do with the Raider Ramble. Just simply go to RaiderRamble.com. There you'll find all of our social media links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're pretty much everywhere as far as social media, you know, just sharing our content all over the place, as we always have. We've been blessed to have nice followings pretty much on all of our platforms. So that's always nice. As far as where to follow us, yeah, just go to the site. It'll point you where to go.
All right, good deal. All right, well, so the reason we had you on way back when and the reason that we want to have you on now is that you bring an awesome perspective from Raider Nation and a great, you know, analytical writer. I've really gotten a kick out of your writing over the years. I try not to read too, frankly, like too much. Like I'll dip in once in a while. But just like I don't listen to other podcasts because I don't want your ideas to become then mine and have me just regurgitate things that I read Mario say, but I do want to bring up a few things because you got some great articles you wrote recently that I want to get into. But before we get into those articles though, just kind of give me your overall thoughts on the Raiders 2020 season. How did you feel? John Gruden year 3, you know, although we were all, well, at least not all, but some of us were a little let down at 8-8. It was a 3-year improvement. We've been getting better over the 3-year period. And John Gruden's literally the only Raider coach to improve record all 3 years of his existence as Raiders head coach. So just kind of give me your vibe on what the last season felt like for you.
Well, I think before the season, I had said either 9-7 or 8-8. So I was kind of like almost on the dot there. It was a little bit disappointing, clearly. They fell apart again late in the season, which has become, sadly, a trademark of Gruden, if you really think about it. And it goes back all the way to his Tampa years. One of our writers, actually, Michael Retta, he actually did write a really good article recently on that. He traced it all the way back to his days in Tampa with these late season collapses. You know, you'll start off great and the wheels just fall off. I think it was very disappointing because we saw the offense take great leaps, especially with Derek Carr. You know, I know he's probably the most divisive topic amongst Raider fans, especially on social media and Twitter. But I mean, you've got to give credit where it's due. He had a really efficient season, man. It was very impressive. Obviously, Darren Waller and future, probably in my opinion, was the offensive MVP of this team, other than Carr, but certainly Darren Waller. You know what I mean? The emergence of those guys. The biggest concern, I think, the offense is the run game, though. Not as dominant as it was last year. I know the situation at guard is not really optimal right now with Incognito might not coming back. You know, Ronnie Hudson looked good, but not as dominant as he has in the past. I think we can all agree that, well, at least in the run game is what I'm referring to. And then with the defense, I mean, oh, man, what can you say, you know? Yeah,
it was a rough season for sure defensively, man. Watching our team collapse in the second and fourth quarters seemingly every week. So that said, you know, the Raiders fire Gunther partway through the season, former defensive coordinator, now bring in Gus Bradley. Gus Bradley most recently was the defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Chargers. And when we look at Bradley and we look at his track record, his defenses typically finish in the top 10 in either yards allowed or points. So that's a good thing for the Raiders, considering that we usually finish last or towards the end of the bottom of the league in those categories. Do you feel like if Gus Bradley is able to improve one or the other, that at least and makes like just one of those categories a top 10, that makes our defense, if you were to take the 2020 Raiders and replicate them and move them in to 2021, would that make us competitive enough to win that extra 3 games to be a playoff contender?
Well, for sure, if he can flip it. But I mean, the biggest issue with them moving forward is fixing the pass defense. I think that's by far, that should be the priority in my humble opinion. I think the pass defense is the one that needs the most attention. You know, having forcing Joyner to be in the slot, you know, that's what Gunther was doing. That clearly was backfiring, and yet he insisted on it week in and week out. You know, I mean, little things like that. The pass rush is definitely concerning. Max Crosby only had 7 sacks, so you literally had no Raiders come even close to double-digit sacks, which is concerning. I know people like to say that sacks aren't the end-all be-all of a defense, which is fair, because when you look at Cleveland Farrell's film, he looked really good this year. He showed a lot of progression. The thing is, pressures, QB pressures aren't always, you know, the most convincing, you know, stat. A lot of guys just like the sacks. You know, that's the sexy stat, I guess you could say.
Yeah, heck, the Titans didn't have any sacks all year long either. And look at, they won their damn division, yeah.
And the thing with Bradley, too, that I do get the feel from, you know, we're just talking to fans and readers and stuff. I think their biggest takeaway from Bradley, or not takeaway, but maybe the biggest concern, is his lack of blitzing. I mean, I can personally too, I would have wanted more blitzing all year too, but I think Raider fans are gonna have to accept the fact that that's probably not gonna change in 2021 either. You know what I mean? It's gonna be more of Bradley's scheme, and hopefully, like I said, fixing the pass defense. Because if you really think about it, they don't necessarily need an elite defense, you know, per se. Not that they're gonna have one, but like you said, a middle of the maybe top 15 defense. I think that definitely can get them those extra 3 games.
Yeah, and that's really, frankly, all it would take. You remember my old co-host, Sonny, my cousin, mm-hmm. Sonny, you know? That's what he's been saying all year long, or at least since the season ended, is he was like, if we are like like just a handful of slots better in any of the major defensive categories, like how many wins does that equate to? Because how many wins or how many losses did that lack of production defensively equate to? And I'm with you on Bradley in terms of like the blitzing thing. Like people like it because it's exciting and people love seeing Jonathan Abram coming in off the edge and like things like that. But really, like, what are we going to do to keep people out of the end zone? Like, that's really what's more important to me, is that, like, how are we going to keep people from scoring points? And that's like what the Titans defense does. I'd keep bringing them up, but they're a great example of a team that didn't do a lot of blitzing, didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but they were keeping people out of the end zone. And granted, they kind of fell apart there at the end last week against the Ravens. Yeah, but
and that's why it said too, it's like the pass defense should really be the priority, because look, no disrespect to Eric Harris, but he should not be the starting safety on any NFL team. He provides great depth, but not your everyday starter. You know what I mean? So that's why I've been saying, too, safety should be in at least top three needs going into April by far. You know what I mean? Safety, fixing that whole issue, maybe moving over, Joyner, like I said, back to his natural position is one. The other concerning thing is Damon Arnette. They used a first-round pick on him. I get the guy was injured, you know, he had a rough going there with COVID. That's no joke either, you know, but didn't for where he got drafted, that I would be concerned. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, considering that we do need to, once again, focus on defense, the Raiders could use to, I'm really liking this whole notion, because we haven't seen this in a long, long time, this whole notion of what, I guess we've seen it out of Reggie McKenzie. I'll back that my comments getting ready to come up here a little bit, but like the whole draft and develop thing that we see going on with Mike Mayock, the acquisition of picks. They're not. Yes, they did sign a lot of free agents last year, and they were very active in free agency, but it didn't feel like that was the focus. It didn't feel like it felt like the dependency on the Raider roster and the building of this team now has been on the draft. And it's the drafting of these young men with character and obviously a lot of physical ability, and then bring them in, coach them up, and you get, you know, guys like Max Crosby. So like, I love that kind of that rhythm that the Raiders are in. That said, the deficits are to the point where we're going to need to focus once again to some key free agent signings. There's lots and lots of rumors out there already. The challenge for the Raiders will be, is that, as you detailed in your article, what you had a couple of them here recently. But you note in here that the Raiders are currently $7 million over the projected salary cap. We know the salary cap's going to drop down. We don't know to what extent yet because of the COVID year. We know the salary cap's coming down, but by all intents and purposes, it looks like they're going to be $7 million over, as you detailed. So that said, if the Raiders want to be players in free agency, they're going to have to make some moves to cut back. And again, you also, I can't remember if it was the same article or different article that I read, but these are all your articles that you wrote. Richie Incognito is owed $6 million. We can cut him and move on from him. We can cut Trent Brown at $14 million. That right there gives us 14 or almost $14 million plus in salary cap. And then you mentioned like there's a couple targets in there. And I want to hear.
But see, that's the issue.
Okay, please.
That's what I was trying to point out too. Where everyone, pretty much fans, writers, we're all in agreement. Defense is the priority, whether it's draft, whether it's free agency. I know right now the popular thing with the fans are saying is that if the Raiders don't go all defense in the draft, it will be a failure. But here's the thing. The two big ones you just mentioned, Incognito and especially Trent Brown, and actually the guy I've been talking about today, Joyner, those are three of the most expensive contracts on the books right now, other than obviously Derek Carr. But here's the issue. If you move on from Brown and Incognito, both of these guys, then what do you do with the offensive line? You know, I wrote an article recently on Just Blog, maybe actually addressing the fact that, oh, well, they cut ties with these guys. Maybe they should invest in one of the premier guards, one of the top two guys. Then everybody was saying, well, we don't need offensive line. Well, if you want to fix the defense, where's the money going to come from? You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's like if you get rid of Brown and Incognito, that's, you know, mind you, obviously Brown hasn't been the healthiest. He hasn't played. Certainly hasn't lived up to that contract, let's just say. But when he's on the field, I mean, no one can deny he really is one of the at least top 3 to 5 tackles in the NFL. You know what I mean? When he's healthy, when he's on the field. Incognito, we saw what he did with the run game, and we certainly saw what happened to the run game when he wasn't playing. That was huge. I think that's the other
that
thing
was
that
huge.
A lot of people,
yeah.
That was huge. It's like, well, you move on from these guys, great. You have a lot of more, you know, financial flexibility, like, you know, you were saying, Murph, but then what do you do with the money? You're going to put it on the defense. What about your offensive line? You know, we've seen Derek Carr needs top tier protection. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. He needs that to excel. He needs the time. What do you do then? You're going to draft a tackle or a guard. It's, you know, that's the thing. It's not a very, how do you say this? It's not a very favorable position. You know what I mean? It's,
right,
it is,
yeah.
What it, you know, it's unfortunate, but they do have to find a way. If me personally, I would keep Brown just because the upside when he's on the field. I mean, man, you can't deny his impact, you know, with Incognito. I think it's the age. Certainly. I think that's the one you have to take into account as far as the age.
What's he going to be, like 37?
I believe 38. Yeah.
38. So yeah. So it's, I mean, yeah. That's for football years, you know, to me, that's still a young man, but like in football years, that's old, man. Like you're old. Like,
yeah. Cause he did great last year, obviously, but you know, he got taken out early. That's the thing. It's like, you know, is he willing to take a pay cut? I mean, I wouldn't, you know, he certainly could still probably command starting money elsewhere, but you know, that's the thing. Unless he retires on his own, then obviously therein lies that solution.
Right, right. And, you know, and then you're, I think that, you know, from the guys that we already have in house, you know, you look, you got Denzel Good, you got, you know, of course, Brandon Parker, like there are suitable depth, I think is what we saw this year, but I'm with you. If we move on from those guys, we're definitely gonna have to address it one way or the other. And so there's the conundrum right now. So let me ask you this though, to go back to the defensive side, let's assume that maybe we move on from one of them. Maybe Incognito takes care of himself, and then we're still paying Trent Brown. You know, maybe they restructure some deals. I mean, that's probably going to be the way that I would think that the Raiders are going to – they're not going to – look, people calling for Derek Carr to get moved on from whatever – look, Derek Carr is your quarterback. Derek Carr is your quarterback. John Gruden's your coach. Mark Davis is your owner, and Mike Mayock's your GM. That isn't going to change. So, yeah. But can they restructure a deal somewhere? Can they restructure? Yes. Can they move on from somebody like maybe a Joiner or fringe players like Eric Harris probably gone?
Oh,
yes.
Definitely.
Like
yeah.
All those things are going to happen. So we're going to make some room. So let me ask you this. Now I'm going to kind of set up a couple of your articles here, but like and going through the NFL free agent list on defense for this year, let me read you some names. Now, listen, there's some serious names on this list. I think if you pick any two names off this list, so I'm gonna read you this list and then give me two names, and then I'm going to ask you some other questions more in line with one of the articles you wrote, actually two of them. So first off, okay, so here's a list of 11 names, okay? Von Miller, Leonard Williams, Melvin Ingram, Matthew Judon, Bud Dupree, Shaq Barrett, Justin Simmons, Justin Houston, Yannick Ngakoue, Pat Peterson, and Tyrone Crawford. Dude, I'm looking at this list and I'm like, give me any two of those guys and all of a sudden the complexion of our defense changes. Who are that?
Almost definitely.
Right? Yeah. So who on that list of the two guys stands out to you?
Yeah, Justin Simmons, man. That's the one. Obviously, though, that's the thing, though. Going to be the money, you know. That's
money. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, I think most fans who understand, you know, how terrible the pass defense has been for the last 2-3 years, especially basically since Gunther was the defensive coordinator, if you think about it, he would certainly be at the top of the list. Williams, too. Look, we saw what happened with Malik Collins. That was turned out to probably be the worst free agent signing. You know, it was very disappointing. I myself, like most, a lot of other fans, too, they were pretty excited, considering his connection with Marinelli, you know, the Cowboys pipeline, all that. But it turned out that, I mean, he was just absolutely terrible. He was probably the worst graded player, I believe, by Pro Football Focus. I know a lot of people don't like PFF, but that does account for something, you know. And he was the worst rated player on there, one of the worst rated players on there for the Raiders. So definitely Leonard, he would have to be. If I was the GM, obviously I'm not, but they need interior pressure. You know, they need that interior defensive lineman. That's why also, too, I've written to, I forget which site, as far as them drafting high first round, an interior lineman, defensive lineman. I think that should be one of the priorities, too. You know, I know a lot of fans are high on the kid from Alabama, Barmore.
Oh, yeah. Beast. Yeah,
but see, that's the thing. That should be the two key positions, in my opinion. Safety, interior lineman. You know, they have some pieces at linebacker now. I know a lot of people tend to forget that, but we saw what Nick Kay did last year. He's solid, man. He really is the defensive leader back there moving forward. You know, I haven't given up on Littleton yet. I think the change of scheme, and I think Bradley coming in, I think he's going to get, he'll bounce back. I don't know if he'll bounce back to the level he was with the Rams, but if you've read his recent interviews, he really is still fired up. He really does believe he's still one of the top linebackers in the NFL, you know, when he was prior to joining the Raiders. So I still believe in him. They have some young pieces like Nick Morrow back there too. So the linebacker position, I'm not too worried about anymore. I think they're okay for now. They still have Raekwon McMillan too. He could come back. So moving forward, definitely. And one of the top interior linemen or a safety by far.
Yeah, man, that's a good sentiment. And I appreciate what you said about Corey Littleton, because I'm with you. And I'm all about accountability, man. And he was accountable mm-hmm. to himself. And, you know, and he was the first one to put his hand up and say, look, you know, my season didn't go the way that I wanted to. I know the fans weren't happy. I know the coaching staff wasn't happy. Like, I'm better than that. And I think that mm-hmm. That there's a lot to be said for that, because I think that if he were to come out and said, you know, like, and he kind of did, there were veiled shots at the previous defensive coordinator, Paul Gunther, but he kind of took a few shots at Gunther, you know, and we heard from like a buddy of ours, Will Compton, former Raider linebacker, that these guys were not really set up for success at the linebacker position from Gunther, that they were asked to do a lot of things that maybe they hadn't worked on in practice, maybe they hadn't things they hadn't installed, and then, like, you know, they're calling in these things, and these guys they don't know what they're doing, and so they're not able to play as fast. And I think that Littleton very easily could have thrown Gunther under the bus, but he didn't. He just took it on himself, and I think that there's a lot to be said for that, and I got a lot of respect.
But to be fair, in Littleton's defense, who wasn't out of place
on that radio? Yeah, right? Absolutely. Gunther.
You know, and it's funny you mentioned free agency. I believe it was Mo Moden from Bleacher Report. He pointed out right away, right after Bradley's hiring, he made a great point, man, about Vic Beasley and Tech McKinley. You know, they're still on the roster technically. They're still Raiders. He says he wouldn't be surprised if they move forward with those guys. That's another thing too. I've been covering a lot of like the edge prospects lately, you know, and I did a couple pieces on some free agent edge rushers too. But after I saw that point, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders don't really go after any edge rushers in free agency. I mean, who knows? They might even pass on it too in the draft. What if they feel that they have enough in defensive line talent in-house already, you know, because that's definitely one approach they could take. You know, we were just talking about Malik Collins, right? He had a terrible year. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back, man.
Yeah, he's got a big contract. I think that he's coming back for sure. Now, to what level, we'll certainly to be seen. But he's a young man. Like, he's only, 25, 26 years old? Like,
I would hate for them to let Jonathan Hankins go, because he's one of the few bright spots stopping the run, man. He's probably one of the best at, stuffing the run in the NFL. But I wouldn't be surprised if they lost him, unfortunately. I think he could command some serious money, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be a big loss, because then you got to replace him. We've seen Maurice Hurst. Basically, he shines, he's promising, but he really just comes and goes. You know, we've seen that the staff just doesn't commit to him, whether it's his health or maybe they see something we don't. You know, obviously we're not on the practice field, but he just, you know, it comes and goes. So that's a big void right there.
Well, the rub on him, they say, is that he's got shorter arms and he's not real strong upper body. Like, compared to me, he's way strong. But like, compared to, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he could throw me across this room, across the fan cave here. But like, but in terms of NFL strength, that's the knock on him. And that when he's dependent on him to get that interior pass rush or that interior push, that he's not able to create that. Whereas if he was paired up next to somebody like, I don't know, Leonard Williams, then all of a sudden, then you start to see Maurice Hurst shine a little bit. Now, so speaking of that, now you made a comment that you weren't sure if the Raiders would consider going after edge rusher, but like kind of what kicked off this portion of our conversation, if we were to take any of the two names off that list that I read to you, what about this, Mario? Now, look, if you take Leonard Williams, okay, and again, I know these guys, I'm playing with Monopoly money. We're pretending like the salary cap, the contracts have been restructured, and we got money, okay? You sign Leonard Williams, and then you sign Melvin Ingram to go on the other side of Max Crosby. And you got Cleveland Farrell, who we know can also play inside. So you got guys like Malik Collins, Mo Hurst, Cleveland Farrell kicking inside, Melvin Ingram, Max Crosby coming off the edge. Like, you with me? Like, that all of a sudden, like, that front four, fives, are certainly seven, gets really, really badass. And I hear what you're saying. Like, and I think that the coaching staff does have a lot of confidence in the guys that are in that are guys that are there. But look, Arden Key, man, I've been rooting for that guy ever since we drafted him, but he just never panned out. He's always like two steps behind. And then when he does catch up to the quarterback, he catches him in the face and we freaking lose football games with 19 seconds left on the clock. Like, I hate to pin that one loss on him, and football never comes down to one play, except sometimes it comes down to one play. Like, and so, you know, I don't know. Just what do you think, man? Like, what do you, wait, look at some of the, I mean, Von Miller, Melvin Ingram, Judon. Like,
well, I recently looked into Ingram. I wrote about him.
Okay.
For, you know, at our site at Raider Ramble. The knock on him is obviously the age. You know, that's understandable. That's the one thing that everybody pointed out. You know, pointing out the obvious is his age and his declining health. But just based on his pass rushing alone, you know, let's say the Raiders pick him up, let's say Ingram, he's not going to be an every down edge rusher. I mean, obviously.
No, you know, he's your third down guy, right?
He's your third down guy. There's no reason why he still can't excel. I think people forget, man, he's a three-time Pro Bowler. You know what I'm saying? And in 2019, before, obviously 2020, we saw his health really take a nosedive. But in 2019, he still had the 11 tackles for a loss in those 13 games that he did play, along with the seven sacks, which is how much the Raiders' leading sack leader got this year. I mean, a little bit of perspective. I know some people are going, oh, come on, you can't. But, I mean, it's a little bit of perspective what he can still bring in the right position if he's healthy. You know, obviously, Ingram's not going to command any big money, and no team should be paying him and a large contract or anything. But if the Raiders can get him on the cheap for a one-year deal, why not? You know, I mean, you're going to tell me he doesn't have anything left in the tank? I mean, why not?
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I'm at too. And so if they can get him on I don't want to say it a bargain, but if they can get him at a reduced rate, because yes, he is older and yes, he is going to be situational. Like, but that might be enough. Like, cause I hate bringing up his name, and no, he's not coming back either, Raider Nation. And I'm talking about Khalil Mack. He's not coming back. Like, but what I think that we missed most about Khalil Mack is that he was our closer. When we needed that sack on third down, when we needed that key turnover, the guy to pick off Cam Newton and run it into the end zone to beat the Panthers, when we needed that guy, that type of player, to close out the game, Mack was the guy. And if I'm not comparing Melvin Ingram to Khalil Mack, but what I am saying is that he could provide that closer type capability, that guy to come up with the big play on third down when it's third and 11 and the game is on the line. That's the guy you need, like that. And so I'm just thinking maybe out loud, they could, you know, they could backfill with some of those names. Now, that's all that I said.
With that comparison, I was about to stop you.
yeah, I know, right? I'm not comparing the two. No,
it could be too, though, that if they decide not to pursue any of the household names at edge, like I said, maybe they're comfortable with Beasley and McKinley moving forward. You know, that's certainly a possibility. Obviously, Farrell and Crosby aren't going anywhere. Those guys are their foundational pieces. I think that's why everybody keeps harping on the fact that they need that key elite interior lineman. People feel that, even me, if they were to have that, that would make a world of difference. They haven't had that, you know? If you have the guy in the middle that can provide that type of pressure, that frees up everybody else, you know? Now, whether it's Leonard Williams, whether it's Barmore, whether it's somebody in the draft, that is up to the Raiders. You know, that's why they have their scouting department. That's why they have Mayock, you know?
Well, and you also brought up something else interesting in this article. And I'd like to note this, cause I wasn't familiar with this guy. But you wrote about, and we're talking to Mario Tovar from RaiderRamble.com. Go read their stuff. It's awesome. So on RaiderRamble.com, you wrote this article about Romeo Okwara. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Okwara. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wrote, the 25-year-old defensive end still has a lot of upside after stints with the Lions and the Giants. PFF predicts that Okwara could sign for 3 years, $10 million guaranteed. Depending on how much the Raiders can clear in their cap and how much they value sacks, this could be a tad much. And then there's the possibility, as you just noted, that they might just want to stick with Beasley and McKinley. But now tell me about this guy, Okwara. I wasn't familiar with him. And what was it about him that you feel that would appeal to the Raiders and to Gus Bradley?
I think it would be more so the production that you saw from him at the towards the end of the 2020 season. That's why I said he's one of these guys that he can be fool's gold or he can strike rich. It's just hit or miss. But just because he struggled before that, you know, PFF pointed out the whole thing about 1,000 snaps earlier in the season. He basically was a below average guy, but he came on strong. Basically, after week 12, that's when he just came on fire. And if you look at his final stat line, it is very impressive with 10 sacks and 11 tackles for a loss, you know, along with forcing three fumbles. That's excellent production. You're telling me the Raiders can't use that? Of course they can use that. But the thing about these type of signings is, like I said, it could be fool's gold. You know, it could be a guy looking to cash out, you know, and all of a sudden.
Well, it could be a Malik Collins situation all over again, right?
Exactly, and that's the thing. Obviously, I love the production. That's a great stat line, just by, you know, without even looking at film or anything like that. And the other upside with him, too, though, is that he's still relatively young. That's the other thing. You know, the Raiders can't afford to go back to the old ways of signing guys on their third contracts, if that makes sense. You know, they still need those guys in those second. He's only 25 years old, man. You know, so he still has a lot of the upside if he's put in the right situation. You know, we're not talking about, we were just talking about Ingram. You know, look how old he is, look all the miles on that, you know, on his tires. But if it were up to me, I would definitely take Ingram just because of what he knows. We all know what he'll bring to this if he's healthy. That's the thing, if he's healthy. But like you said, they need that closer, that third down closer.
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. I'm asking about one more. We'll be sensitive to your time. Yeah. We're talking to Mario Tovar from RaiderRamble.com. Mario, thank you so much for joining us here. It's only been 3 years since you've been on the show. Like, what's the hurry to come back on, man? What the heck?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the invite, man.
I know, and that's on me, and we will definitely get you back on more often because it's great.
I appreciate the time, man.
Absolutely. Well, and the insight is fantastic, and your work is great. So one last one before we get out of here. Okay, so you just go the other side of the ball. The Raiders, some people are talking, we might lose Nelson Agholor. Nelson Agholor, our number two receiver in terms of catches because Hunter Renfro was number one. But in terms of yardage, Agholor was number one in terms of wide receivers. And then, of course, our overall best pass catcher this year is Darren Waller. But the idea that Agholor showed that the dropsies that he had in Philly were gone. He's got the capability to take the top off of a defense. He's fast enough. He's got solid hands. The guy was a gamer for us. In losing Ty Williams and the development year for Henry Ruggs, like this, he showed up. Same thing, development year for Bryan Edwards. So Nelson Agholor was fantastic in this season. Now, that's probably going to earn him a big payday. That may not be with the Raiders. So the Raiders are going to be into a position where they might need to backfill. Zay Jones is probably gone. So we're going to have to probably bring in someone. And they like their vets. And you want to have a good veteran presence in the locker room. So that leads me to your article where you wrote about Breshad Perriman. Now, this one took me by surprise. So let me read what you wrote here. A victim of playing for the 2020 Jets, Perriman could be a solid addition. He was 26th overall selection in 2015 and got off to a slow start, and it wasn't until he was with Tampa Bay that he finally shined. So that year in Tampa Bay, and this is playing with Jameis, I believe, he accumulated 645 receiving yards off 36 receptions and 6 touchdowns, and he had 0 drops that year to go along with 29 first down conversions. So now look, you said it there at the top. He was a victim of playing for the Jets. Breshad Perriman was not on my radar at all. So is he on other teams' radar? And what led you to gravitate towards him as being a potential replacement for Nelson Agholor?
I think it was more so about, I was looking at their offense like we were talking about now, of the possibility. I think more than likely Ty Williams is gone. I think that's a lot of money right there for a guy that simply has just can't stay healthy,
What is that contract? How much is that savings for the Raiders? Do you know off the top of your head?
I have to look that up. I know it's certainly in the top 10. I know that I'm looking up the
it's like $12 million or something contract. Probably.
Yeah, it's up there. But see, that's the thing. When he did play, man, he had that streak of the 5 straight games with a touchdown. So he was definitely showing to be, you know, he wasn't Antonio Brown by any stretch, but he was certainly going to hold the fort, you know. And obviously, like you pointed out right now, everybody knows other than Waller, Nelson Aguilar was, you know, by default, he was the top wide receiver on this team. The problem is, you know, he, I would assume he will command some serious money. You know, which way do the Raiders go? The thing is with Aguilar too is, well, how much money is he going to command? You know, if he is going to really get asking for that sort of number one wide receiver type of money, I seriously doubt the Raiders will cough up that level of money for Aguilar, which isn't a knock on him. The man earned it. Yeah, he had a spectacular
season
bouncing back. But see, that's the thing. That's why I was looking at wide receiver. A lot of people aren't really looking at receiver right now because, look, like you said, you have Ruggs, you got Renfro, you got Edwards. Those are your three guys moving forward. But who's your big play guy? Who's the guy that's going to – that veteran, you know, present? That's why Rashad came to mind. But you know who else came to mind too is the guy that's playing for the Browns right now, Higgins. I think he – if I had to choose between Higgins and Perriman, I would definitely go with Rashad Higgins just based on age, based on the production. You know, like I said, I know Perriman was he was a victim of playing for the New York Jets, probably one of the worst teams in the last few years, if historically one of the worst teams. So certainly,
hey, they almost beat us, man. Yeah. They're pretty freaking good, yes. Right?
That's the thing too, you know. But with Higgins from the Browns, I mean, if I had to choose, you know, which route, I think looking at it, you know, as far as upside, you know what you're going to get with Higgins. You're going to get a young guy that really shined once Beckham went down. You know, in the 13 games that he's played, along with the six starts, I mean, he has pretty much 600 receiving yards and four touchdowns. But the thing that I really looked at was his big playability. If you were to look up his film and the fact that he averaged 16.2 yards per reception, that's pretty big, man. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to say is that if Aguilar and Williams are gone, who's going to be your big play guy? Everybody wants to assume that it's Ruggs, but I mean, no disrespect, but Gruden showed this year he didn't know how to use him. You know, I'm not saying me or you could have done a better job as head coaches or anything like that. Obviously, we're not. But, I mean, how many times were we looking at the screen? It's like, get the ball to Ruggs. You know, use him creatively. Use a screen. Use, you know, whatever it is you got to do to utilize that speed. He was basically just a decoy, if you really think about it. He wasn't really used up to his potential. But moving forward, he is the top guy. You know, at least we're hoping he's the top guy, but at least with Higgins, you're going to get that big play ability. The other thing too is he's reliable, man. Just one drop in two seasons, that's pretty big.
Yeah, so, that's fantastic. You know, and in defense of Ruggs a little bit, you know, it, when we drafted him, we knew he was the developmental guy. Between him and yeah. CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, we knew that Ruggs was going to be more the developmental guy. And, you know, frankly, you know, NFL wide receivers, for the most part, they make their jump in year two, right? And unfortunately mm-hmm. for Ruggs, both Lamb and Jeudy had great years, and so he's directly being compared to them. And we saw Amari Cooper have a really good rookie year, and so like yeah. But typically though, when we see these guys, it takes them a little bit. And so I've got a lot of faith in Edwards and Ruggs, and especially Edwards. And I said I was gonna let you go after this, but let me throw one more thing at you. I've been saying all along, when the Raiders drafted Edwards, because like going back to the draft last year, I was hoping they were going to draft Lamb. That was the guy that I wanted to see the Raiders mm-hmm. draft. We had our pick of wide receivers, and Lamb was the one I wanted them to grab. The reason why is that I felt Derek Carr misses, more than anybody, he misses Michael Crabtree, and he misses Andre Holmes and Jared Cook. When you look at all the touchdown passes Derek Carr threw in 2016, he threw so many back shoulder, fade, like trust, like 50-50 balls to those guys that were big. They got vice grips for hands, and they will go up and they will high point and challenge the defender to the football and come down with it and win. Like that is that's the prototype Derek Carr guy. And then when they didn't draft Lamb and they got Ruggs, I'm like, oh man, like I like it that he's Cliff Branch 2.0, but that's not what Derek Carr like excels with. Is our he, you know, look at what he does with Waller as an example, yeah. right?
Yeah.
But then they draft Bryan Edwards, and I'm like, oh, there's the guy. That's the guy. And when you watch Bryan Edwards catching more touchdown passes than anybody in the history of South Carolina football. That's the kind of balls he's catching. He's high pointing. He's out jumping. He's 6'3". He goes up, he high points, and he bullies people to the football. But we didn't see that all year long until the Denver game. We finally saw that. He like that back shoulder, you know, back of the end zone, goes up, or not back of the end zone, but you know what I mean, on the side, almost to the back of the end zone, goes up, high points the football, snatches it out of the air, bullies the guy to the ground, and it was beautiful. And we're like, yes, like there it is, finally. So do you think that, you know, can the Raiders, are these two guys, that said, like, are we poised to see the jump? Are we, do you have faith in that these two guys that they drafted last year are going to take that next step this year?
Well, if I'm John Gruden, I'm hoping
that jump. Hey, right.
The problem, though, with Edwards, he has the upside. I mean, we were all fans, writers, everybody. We were all super stoked when they picked Edwards. You know, he, like you said, I had that feeling too, as did my colleagues, that, okay, this is the guy. You know, he's the X slot. He's the X receiver. That's why somebody pointed out earlier today on Twitter too, that he is the X receiver. But the problem is he has to stay healthy. You know, one of my guys, Cam Archer, wrote a great article pleading that the Raiders pick up Allen Robinson, which would be amazing. But here's the thing. It's like, obviously you have the money issue. But then you also have, well, what do you do with Edwards then? Does this mean you're necessarily giving up on him? You know, that's why I was trying to say that Ruggs and Edwards and Renfro are the guys moving forward. The problem is, if you don't have, like, let's say a Perriman or a Higgins, somebody to really command the attention of the defense, you're going to have everybody just collapse on Ruggs next season. You know,
right,
so then what do you
right.
do? Let's say Edwards still can get on the field. Ruggs, you know, he gets zeroed in on. Who's going to be your number one receiver? Hunter Renfro? I mean, you know, he's the slot guy. He's third in Renfro, but he's not the number one wide receiver.
No.
You know? And I know a lot of people are not crazy on the Raiders spending any money on wide receiver, but it is what it is. You still need that option if Aguilar, like I said, if Aguilar has a reasonable contract, reasonable asking price, then why not bring him back? He clearly, you know, Carr trusts him. We saw that throughout this year. Bounce back. Just stick with Aguilar. Keep the chemistry going, you know, while Ruggs and Edwards can come back and stay healthy and you have that going. Because, like, I mean, Derek Carr is going to be Derek Carr. He's going to do his thing. You know, I mean, we can all, whether he has wide receivers or not, we've seen that he's going to make the most of the situation. But if you really want to maximize it, then that's why I was preaching earlier that they should at the very least consider Perriman or Higgs if Aguilar is not coming back.
Absolutely, man. Great stuff. Mario, this has been awesome, man. I've held you hostage now for almost 45 minutes. So thank you. So, man, it's been so long since we spoke. And just thinking back to those times you joined us, you know, back a few years ago, like I remember it now, like me and Sonny would get off the phone with you, be like, man, we could talk to that guy all night. Like, you know what I mean? So I appreciate your Raider insight, my friend, and continued success with the Raider Ramble. And tell everybody once again how they can find you.
Well, like I said, if you want to find all of our content, you know, we have a bunch of great writers, man. Been truly blessed. A lot of guys have come through those doors, and we still have a great staff intact right now. So just go to RaiderRamble.com. You can check out all of our social media links there, all of our past archives. You can go look at our archives from when I first came on board back in 2016 with you guys.
Oh, nice.
Me personally, you can find me on Twitter @_MarioTovar. From there, you can find my links to all of the other sites that I write for. I mean, I'm really busy these days with Black Hole Banter, you know, Just Blog Baby, NFL Mocks, too. I recently wrote a Chargers mock out of all teams right there, too.
Uh-oh. I'm
also writing for that.
Hey, you're not switching sides on us now, are you?
No, of course not.
You stay over here on the dark side, man. Let's stay over here with Raider Nation, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'm also writing over there with LA Football Network, too. I've been blessed. They got a great thing going on over there. Expanding my coverage. You know, I'm having a lot of fun covering a lot of these prospects. So I figured, why not expand my palette, you know, grow as a writer. But as I like to tell everybody, you know, Raider Ramble's my first, you know, that's my, as Carlos likes to say, that's our baby. You know, that's our priority.
That's so. Your ride or die right there, right?
Exactly.
There you go. Good deal, man. Well, awesome, man. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you again, Mario. We will not go 3 years before the next time we talk to you. Let's maybe get you back on as we start headed into the draft. When you guys start ramping up, start doing a bunch of draft articles, we'll get you back on here for another Raiders Fan Radio conversation, okay?
For sure, Murph. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Absolutely, brother. Great talk to you, man. Have a great night.
You too.
See you, bud.